Welcome to Andres Off the Record. And in this episode, I want to introduce or lay the groundwork for my perspectives on a lot of the stuff that's happening right now in Hollywood, or Hollyweird, as someone else had once said. And the thing is that before, we would know that there are certain media elements that are catered to a certain demographic. Like, if you wanted to go see a politically charged movie, for example, you'd know that it's a politically charged movie because it's on its face. Like, if you have Michael Moore's mockumentary, as I call it, Fahrenheit 9/11, then you know that you're going to watch a politically charged movie that is intended to be anti-Bush. So those used to be something you could spot from a mile away, just like you would see a popcorn movie. It's like, oh yeah, that movie is definitely an entertainment movie tailored to the entire family. Same thing with television programming. That's how it used to be. You would know that during the daytime, there's a lot of daytime talk shows, and there's a lot of cartoons that are meant for the kids, the talk shows for the parents, for those stay-at-home parents. And then at night, it would be more of the adult programming. So the kids should be in bed because those programs tend to have more violence, some innuendo or sexual content. And you would know because it's based on a schedule. Well, those lines have been blurred for quite some time. And now it's gotten to the point where nothing is safe. Nothing is out of reach. And it's unfortunate that I've told families around me that I refuse to let my children watch PBS Kids, at least not without my supervision. PBS Kids, of all places? Yes, the public broadcasting service that uses taxpayer money to create these television programs that I grew up on are not what they used to be. I do not let my kids watch Sesame Street. I've never, ever let them watch Sesame Street. You know how disappointing that is, considering that I grew up on Sesame Street? I do not let them watch any American broadcast programming. They tend to watch international programs, especially since they're multilingual, so they can pick up on other ones, whether it's Spanish, Mandarin, of course English. So they would watch those international programs where politics have not taken over the narrative of children's programming. You know how disappointing that is? That a lot of American programming, I'm not safe to let them watch it. And it's very disappointing in that regard, because that is the state of Hollywood television media altogether, where it's now preaching at you what is called the social justice warrior movement, or identity politics, or gender politics. Take your pick. It's all there, because we need to have more so-called diversity in our programming. We need to have more education about minority rights that are otherwise supposedly overlooked. That we need to have more acceptance of other cultures and behaviors, regardless of whether they affect your health or not. And these things have gotten so far off the cuff, so far off the rails, that it's really difficult now to trust a film coming out, even when it's labeled Disney Presents. You know, that's now, actually, I'm more concerned when it says Disney Presents, because they are the ones that are perpetuating this. And that's what's crazy, that I didn't want to go into my children growing up on Disney to be worried about these things. Back in the 80s and 90s, the concern was that among the Christian demographic, that Disney was putting subliminal messages into their animated films. There was some truth to that, because there's a film called Rescuers Down Under, where there's a scene where, an infamous scene where the mice characters, because the characters are mice, are on a plane, and the plane is nosediving in a city before they pull up, and the backdrop is a bunch of buildings. In those buildings, there was a pornographic image embedded on that frame. Why was it there? The animators knew what they were doing, so it's not like it wasn't intentional. It was definitely intentional, and Disney had to remove it. There's always some concerns as to all the phallic objects that were in some of the early promotions of Little Mermaid. And the concern is like, well, in The Lion King, when Simba rests on a rock and then the leaves are picked up by the wind, that it might spell S-E-X when it's getting to Rafiki. That, you know, okay, that's pushing it far. But the thing is, there was cause for concern. Well, be not concerned anymore because they're not being subliminal. They're being straight up in your face. And the reason Disney's going to be more of the object of my scorn and a lot of these rants when it comes to programming is the mere fact that Disney basically owns like 80% of everything now. The only ones that they don't own are Paramount Pictures, they don't own Universal Studios, and they don't own Warner Brothers and Sony. But the Sony Marvel products belong to Marvel Studios. That's why a lot of it tends to be influenced by Disney now, because it's indirect. Star Wars, owned by Disney. The Marvel products that were owned by Fox, well, Disney bought Fox. So everything that Fox had is now Disney. So think of any franchise that had Fox on it, it belongs to Disney. It's scary how much control they have now, because Disney is out of original ideas, okay? That's why they're rebooting every single animated classic and ruining it with the awful CGI. Why can't they use practical effects? They got the money to burn, but because they just are like clockwork, just making remake after remake after remake, they're throwing that out there regardless of how good or bad it might be. People are still going to eat it up because it's a whole new generation growing up on this, and those that are nostalgic for the old ones are just seeing their cartoons being completely removed from memory. It's soiling what was once good. And the thing is that it's not so much that they're remaking it, okay? It's that now they're remaking it with the political lens of today. And that's the thing, that before there wasn't politics, now there is. And it's just driving me nuts because, like, for example, like a lot of the cast and crew that I do like that came out in Dumbo, the remake by Tim Burton, they used the platform to say that this was a message about acceptance and diversity, that we're all different, and that's why that's this message that Dumbo's sending. Now, they were trying to be a very general in the sense, but what they were really aiming for was talking about the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, the queer community, because it's saying that they're born like this and they're perceived to be like these circus creatures, but we have to come to accept them and such because they're just like us, even though we may not all look the same or behave the same, etc. And that's just it, that it's in your face now. They're not hiding these things. And it's not just in the sense of LGBTQ politics. It's also in the sense of what they call equality. It's not equality, it's feminism. To the extreme where if you're a white middle-aged man, then you are the target of all their scorn. They hate you the absolute most. And that sucks because you have no biological control over that. And if you're skinny, even worse, because there's something called a positive fat bodies movement, whatever it is, where people are proud to be fat, that there's nothing wrong with them, regardless of whatever health consequences are inherited by their overweight bodies. They see themselves as a positive image, and they believe that anybody telling them to lose weight or don't perceive them as beautiful is just shaming them and are very hateful. And it's just like, where is all this nonsense coming from? You know, it's like, it has been there, okay? It's not like it wasn't there. It's just that now it's supposedly accepted and it's in your face, and now it's indoctrinating our kids. And nothing more concerning than the movement of the transgender community to instill it on the young minds, where it's gone to the extreme where it's like, let's take the CW, for example. The CW is known nowadays for all their Warner Brothers DC Comics properties, like The Arrow, The Flash. Supergirl was on CBS, but they moved it to the CW, which makes more sense because it belongs there. Legends of Tomorrow. And what is it? There's another show before Batwoman, because now Batwoman's coming out too. So they have all these things. The thing is that they started injecting politics immediately into those shows. The Arrow introduced a lesbian character. And in the case of The Flash, they just said so nonchalantly, and they kind of had an exchange in it where the captain of the police force in The Flash never is mentioned that the dude is married to another man. And then we end up getting to see it, and when we see it, it's like, yeah, it's normal. So there's no setup. like what that that shows any like it doesn't deal with it in a realistic light is what I'm trying to get at. It's just thrown in your face like this is how it is. And they were laying on the groundwork, and I saw that coming, where now there's a lot of different representations so-called across these programs, and the most preachy of them all, Supergirl. And now the most in your face cringe-worthy show is Batwoman. All the trailers that are coming out for Batwoman are insane, because before Batwoman did exist in the DC universe, she was killed off in the, around the Silver Age of comics, if I'm not mistaken. She was reborn as a reboot in 2005 as what is known as a lipstick lesbian. And when she was reborn as, oh my goodness, I keep forgetting her name, Chris something, Chris Kane, something like that. So that she's reborn as this lipstick lesbian. She takes on crime. Well, if they had kept her kind of like that, it's the show might work. It's just that Batwoman is basically the symptom of everything that's happening wrong with media today, where now the enemy that Batwoman is fighting is misogyny, men, and most of all white men. And it's, my goodness, I don't even know if I should do this. But okay, if you haven't seen one of the most disliked trailers on YouTube, if you want to put up with it, you could. It's just so freaking annoying. I'm not gonna put it on my episode just because it's just so cringy. But if you're willing, you can definitely watch it. The setup is this: Batwoman is apparently, before she becomes Batwoman, she is a cousin of Bruce Wayne. She arrives to Gotham. Batman is supposedly missing. It's going to hell in the handbasket. Crime is running rampant. She goes to Wayne Tower. There's a security guard there. And because she's so cool and awesome, and you can't tell her what to do because she's a feminist icon, supposedly, you know, she has her own rules. She doesn't play by the rules. She gets on an elevator that takes her to the Batcave. Like, okay, she gets to the Batcave and sees all of Bruce Wayne's tools and all this. So then she tells the security guy, who I believe is, I don't think that's Lucius Fox, but she says, oh, I need modifications done to this Batman suit. And the guy says, the suit is utter perfection. And then she says, it will be when it fits a woman. I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, fine, whatever. He makes modifications, and she gets to have the bat suit, and she goes to fight some crime, and Gotham sees that supposedly Batman returns, so they're like, oh, it's Batman, yay! So they start cheering because they don't know that it's a woman. She doesn't don that that famous red haired cowl that she uses. So then later in the trailer, she tells I believe it's Lucius Fox. She says, I do not want a man to take credit for a woman's work. So that's why he had to put like that redhead cowl and all this thing. So now she's identified as Batwoman. And meanwhile, the whole trailer has like this just awful song, I'm a Woman. It's just, oh my goodness, it's so annoying now. And here is what comes down to it. Here's the setup. Because this is social justice warrior gender politics at play. And that a woman is better than a man. And everything he can do, she can do better. She breaks into Wayne Tower. She steals his stuff that another man made. And is taking credit for all of Batman's work. And she says, I do not want a man taking credit for a woman's work. She didn't do jack. She didn't spend her time training. She didn't spend her time designing. She didn't spend her time making. She didn't spend her time analyzing. She's just usurping somebody else's work. But we're supposed to celebrate that. Another example where this is ridiculous, and I'll get into it in a follow-up episode because I want to devote this entirely to where the direction of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going, is what's happening with Captain Marvel. Or what happened with Captain Marvel and just getting absolutely worse since the movie came out. And that's a scene with Brie Larson that's very similar and reminiscent of this moment from the Batwoman trailer, which, again, I'll get into it in another episode when I talk about this. See, the thing is that this is now absolutely in your face. CW is broadcast television, and they know that teenagers and young tweens are watching this. And so they're shoving it down everybody's throats. Feminism, same-sex politics, and all that is just front and center. And it's not just hidden. It's in your face. And DC has made it very clear, including the MCU, again, which I'll get to in some other in another episode, they have made it very clear the direction that these shows are going to take from here on out. It's only going to get supposedly more inclusive and representative of the community as a whole. So in other words, they're going to be getting way, way more preachy. Back to PBS Kids. About a month ago, the new season of the show Arthur came out. And the first episode was a wedding of one of the main characters marrying another guy. It was met with such backlash. It's like, what is this? PBS Kids is tailored to the youngest possible that can watch something to adults as well. So they know the audience is watching are little kids that have no idea what that is. And is just so confused about it. So that's why I needed a place to vent about these things. Because if it was just relegated to whatever popcorn movies of superheroes are out there, you've probably seen it for yourself, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe that I'm sure most of you have seen, if it was just limited to that, we wouldn't be really having much of a conversation. It's not just there. That is the tip of the iceberg. Look at everything they've infected with all these identity politics, but God forbid you talk about God in the positive light in any of these things. Do not show anything faith-based. You cannot pray in schools. You cannot show prayer. You cannot talk about God because it's hate speech. It's just gotten to such an extreme where it's just so ridiculous, utterly ridiculous, where less than 3% of the US population is now being shown like it's a normal thing and it's an everyday life. No, it's only everyday life because it's in your social circle in the most liberal of cities ever. But you step outside of that, and that's not the world. And that's the problem, that most people, just like in video games, live in this bubble. And then they try to preach to us to tell us that we don't live in that same world. No, excuse me. You live in an artificial world that you make up, and you believe you can legislate acceptance. That you think we passed these laws, and there, we solved all problems. Like the Democrats, it's like, here, we passed the tax, we just solved the climate change issue. It's like, why? Because you're charging someone taxes and you ban plastic straws? You haven't done anything. It's like that moment in The Simpsons.
I'll stop buying Malibu Stacy clothing. And I'll take up smoking and give that up.
Good for you, son. Giving up smoking is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. Have a dollar.
But he didn't do anything.
Didn't he, Lisa? Didn't he? Hey, wait a minute. He didn't!
So I'll be venting more about these things in a manner which is also to inform you as the episodes progress, because there's a lot of craziness down the pipeline that you probably didn't even realize is coming, and it's going to be even worse than you can ever imagine. And it's just, you can see the groundwork that was being laid if you saw Captain Marvel or the marketing of Captain Marvel and everything that happened after it. But I'll save my thoughts on that for the next episode. Oh, for the episode where I'll be dealing with Captain Marvel and actress Brie Larson. All right, that does it for this episode. So I'll see you on the next one of Andres Off the Record.